shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm blessed. Good evening to you guys.
Amen. Well, I know we've got a couple callers lined up. Looking forward to them, and I'll be standing by and letting you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody tonight to Hope is Alive. We thank you for taking time on this Wednesday evening to join us. We're back live. We had a couple weeks off. We spent 2 weeks off for the holidays break, and then we just had some things come up and we couldn't get on last week. So sure glad to be back here, back talking with everybody, back testifying to deliverance and setting the captives free. And what is deliverance, just in case you may be tuning in for the first time or just not 100% sure. Deliverance is the process of casting out evil spirits out of people. And how is that done? It's done by the hands of Christians, because Christians were commissioned to go out, preach the word, heal the sick, and cast out demons. And that's why we're here. We're here to testify to this. We're here to help to equip you, to help hopefully edify you, and help you to get to that point if you need it. Or to even help strengthen you with your faith when you hear the testimonies. But that's why we come on here each week, but mostly to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, there's a website set up, deliveranceusa.com. You can go there. It's an excellent, excellent website. There at the click of a mouse, free of charge. Or if you'd like to read a book, do it the old-fashioned way. Pastor Cox did write a book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book. He will certainly get it out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering for it. And it's just a manual for casting out evil spirits. It's a step-by-step process, really easy to read, really easy to lay out. And he's done all the labor, he's done all the hard work figuring it out. So he made it easier for people like me who came along just a few years later after him, so we could do that. But Pastor, sure it's good to hear from you again. Seems like it's been last year since we talked.
It does seem like a long time. But here we are again, and praise God, it's exciting to be on talking about deliverance, an area of the gospel that sets people free from all kinds of problems, even physical problems. And it it's exciting to me because I didn't know about this until I was in my 40s. And to find out that this is alive and well in the gospel, it just somehow people tend to skip over the scriptures on it. So tonight we're going to hit it head on, and also a couple of exciting testimonies of how this area called deliverance worked in their lives. I love testimonies. You know, you may argue about certain scriptures and where you interpret it and that kind of thing, but when somebody says, look, here's the way I was, and after this type of ministry, here I am now, well, it's hard to argue with it. You can't say, no, you're not. You can't argue against it. So that's what we're going to hear tonight, is some more of these miracles where people's lives have turned around.
Amen, amen. You know, and it's something I've thought about often, and it just the thought just reoccurred to me, is there's really not a problem that you're dealing with that deliverance couldn't help. If you're having problems with depression, deliverance could certainly help. If you're having problems with health, deliverance can probably help. If you're having problems with aches and pains, or you know, just the whole problem list there, where you have a problem, maybe you lie a lot, you just can't seem to control that, or you know you shouldn't be doing it, but maybe you smoke and you want to get done, you don't want to smoke cigarettes, you want to get away from the addiction of tobacco or any other kind of addiction. You know, you can be a Christian and do these things, struggle with these things, know you shouldn't be doing them, but here they are still, they're still there. And the great thing about deliverance is it may not be a cure-all for everything, but it sure isn't going to hurt, and it helps a lot of people in these areas.
Yes, and no medication needed in this.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And the cost is pretty good, too.
Couldn't get any better. Praise God.
Well, we joke about that. We joke about that because they don't charge for deliverance there in Oklahoma City, and I've never charged for doing one. I've had some people offer me some money, and I've just told them to send it on to the ministry. But they do have an offering box that you can put in there. But, you know, it's no charge. It was freely given, and we freely give it back out. And that's kind of why we joke about it. The cost is pretty good because, yeah, you're out nothing as far as, well, I guess you're out the money for gas to get there.
Well, and I sometimes tell people, Ralph, we can lower the price and pay them to come.
Yes. It'd be hard to keep the doors open if we did that, but that's all right. Well, Pastor, how'd this Monday go?
It was a great evening, Ralph. We had 14 cases. We actually did more than that. Those were the ones that came at, you know, that were new at the ministry. And then there was some ministry going on that started at 5:30. The others come at 5:30 and get the teaching and finally get into ministry about 8 o'clock. So we really did more than 14. And we had a minister for each. How's that sound?
That's a great deal there. That doesn't always happen, but it's best when it does.
Yes, we have a man that does group if we're shy of ministers. But there was one lady that soloed, so to speak. It was her first time to do it by herself. She came by. I'd finished up early, and she came by the room I minister in and stuck her head in, and she was so excited that she just about would float off the floor, that the Lord used her to see a life turned around like this. And I was the same way. In fact, I still am. I'm on a high for days after ministering to someone. I worked with a man from California that had an alcohol problem and other things, but got the head demon up, was able to interrogate it, and it just went by the book. It was just as smooth and nice. I only had the angels just had to discipline the head demon one time. And then it cooperated right along. They all vary. Some demons are very belligerent. Some are easier. But this one was, I'd have to say, easy. It just, that one time of the angels jabbing the head demon three hard times with their swords straightened it out, and it was smooth the rest of the time. And I got home, I got through even earlier than I normally do, and he had flown in, and he was flying out the next morning to California. And I asked him, I said, well, do you think your trip was worth it? Of course, he knew he was free. The alcohol spirit was cast out and a number of them. So I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but you know, we scored. Praise God.
Yes. Yes, praise the Lord. And I'm sitting there thinking of the team leader. Did you say it was a female? I can't remember that. That had done her first, his or her first.
It was a woman.
Deliverance.
It was a woman.
Yeah, I thought you said that. But I'll tell you, see, here's the nice thing about what they got going on at Deliverance Ministries is most of the people that are team leaders, they've gone through deliverance themselves. They see the change in their lives, and they have this new urge to help. They're definitely a little bit more bolder. A lot of them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which really grants you boldness, but they're ready to do these things. Well, he doesn't leave you out and say, okay, get down there. They have training. In that training, they go upstairs and they sit down and they discuss certain aspects of what to kind of expect. Usually they'll have an experienced minister. Sometimes Pastor Cox does the teaching. Sometimes it's a few others. And they'll go through some of the scenarios, and they go through a checklist. Now, the great thing about this checklist is, as you are doing deliverance, it doesn't mean you have to do it in this order. But these are ministers who have been doing this as pastor for almost 40 years, and many other ones that have been doing it for many, many years. They have found if you do this step-by-step process and do it in this order, there's less outbursts, there's less problems, and it's more effective to get to the root problems quicker. And it's also great for those, because a lot of times you'd be kind of timid. Well, you know, Pastor Cox is able to do this, but you know, he's got this great anointing and great talent and this. Well, he had to start off somewhere too, just like everybody else. And he doesn't have any more anointing. That anointing from the Holy Spirit is from the Holy Spirit. He gives that measure of anointing to who he gives it to. And, you know, it may be that anointing is a little bit more on him at the time, but if you strive and work on it, then anointing will come upon you. But the great thing is you can just go step by step. Okay, well, now we need to go down to inner healing. All right, we've done inner healing. Let's go on over here to the breaking of godly soul ties. Okay, let's go over here to the problem list. And so forth and so on. So as you do it, you have the confidence of a checklist and just go step by step. And the great thing about it is I know what this woman was experiencing, because I was there once too. And you can see, as you're going through deliverance with somebody, you can see sometimes a literal transformation as you go through. I've seen people completely burned over. It looks like they had the weight of the world on their shoulders. There was a frown, a scowl. And as they go, they start sitting up straighter. They start smiling. They you know, especially if they really are interactive and they can really feel it, they're like, oh, I felt that. Oh, that's great. And it's just a fantastic feeling. It's the high that Pastor Cox is talking about. And that high comes from, it's just a law that's in the Word of God, is it's better to give than it is to receive. And there's a certain amount of pleasure that comes from that when giving and helping others.
And Ralph, it's good to emphasize that this is not a gift type of ministry. This is normal Christianity.
Yes.
All Christians can learn to do this. And you don't need to have any special anointing, because the Word will perform itself. Anointing does come and builds at different times on different people. But even without any special anointing, as you go through these steps and speak the Word performs itself and drives these spirits out. So it's just amazing. You never get over the thrill of seeing the power work in Jesus' name and these people set free, and that God would use little us to do this. Well, he'll use whoever wants to learn and do it, praise God. Jesus said, believers shall cast out demons in his name. He didn't say pastors or priests. He said believers. Well, I'm a believer, and people listening, most of them, they're probably believers. They're qualified. They're already licensed to do this. They just need to get some boot camp. And the training we do every Monday night certainly helps people get there. Last night, I was upstairs with the teams. I'd go up once a month, and we were talked in the advanced after the basics about ministering to children. And that's always exciting to see children set free. They're demonized just like adults are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to a sermon by somebody the other day. I don't remember who. A brother had shared it. And they were talking about in it that children and animals have a more of increased sensitivity than most to the demonic spirit world. They see the things. They hear the things. They see the things. And my guess was from listening to it was I was thinking, well, as Jesus says, unless you have the faith of a child, I think it's just children don't have that preconceived notion. They haven't been taught a lot of false doctrine, to even say so, or even had the scientific world can tell them different. But they were just saying it, that children are very sensitive to it, and they can easily pick up spirits. I think the example given was, have you ever had one of your children be just doing great, and they'll go over to a friend's house, or they'll get around a bunch of other children, they come back, and there seems to be a spirit about them. And I said, more than likely, they have picked something up from somebody else. And you just, you know, it talks some of your duty to protect them from that. One is obviously don't let them hang out with bad apples. But two was, you know, you could practice the making sure you arm your children, praying over them, and then casting out anything that comes when you see it.
Yes.
Well, Ralph, we've got your caller on the line. Let me bring her on. Hey, good evening, and thanks for calling in on the program.
Thank you. Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Natasha. So glad you called in. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, Natasha, I'm excited you're here. And why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances were like and changes you've seen and so on. So go right ahead.
Well, I'll start with I was baptized at the age of 12 years old. So I was baptized and I went to a Church of Christ. So I was raised in the church and I was a Christian. And as time went on, in my teenage years, and in my college years, pretty much all my young adult life, I'd stepped away from God, meaning that I was in the world, I was partying, I was doing everything that opposite of what I should have been doing as a follower of Christ. And so, with that being said, in a lot of failed relationships, I had dealt with a lot of trauma, and that's some of the things that I'd learned in deliverance ministry, was I really wasn't aware of all the things that affected who I was as a Christian. And so you go through life, and you don't realize that being molested or being in an abusive relationship or drinking or partying and or rape or all these things or even incestual, you don't realize that all those things open doors to evil spirits. And so and it even affects, you know, marriage, because it affects my marriage as well. So as I got older, things just started. It was a continuation. It was one continuation from teenage years to another continuation of just things that were affecting my ability to really serve God and my ability to really have meaningful relationships. So what came to for me was about four years ago, I started having these demonic attacks, and they would not, you know, they would not stop, and it was more continuous. And so I started reaching out for help. And as I was reaching out for help to different pastors and things like that that I thought would understand what was going on, they basically either thought I was crazy or just outright could not help me at all, or they were too far away to even give me the help that I needed. And so that's what prompted me to get in contact with Deliverance Ministries, because I knew something was wrong. I just really didn't understand all aspects of what was attacking me. You know, for some reason, and I talked with the young lady that was helping me in Deliverance Ministries about it, is for some reason, a lot of churches just don't believe that Christians can be attacked by evil spirits. For some reason, they think that if you're a Christian, you can't be oppressed by evil spirits. You can't be attacked by evil spirits. You know, that's just the thing of, you know, in biblical times, that doesn't affect Christians. And it's such a, it's a misunderstanding of the Word of God. You know, Jesus cast out evil spirits and demonic spirits from people in that time period as part of his walk. But for some reason, we think that that doesn't exist today, and it does. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian. It still can happen. Now, I was born again within that, about 5 years ago, I was born again, and it still attacked me. I was reading the Word. I was going to church. I was involved, even in my family. So it's not a situation of being a Christian. You can't ever be attacked by a demonic or evil spirit. So that's what prompted me to get the help that I needed, and God led me. I feel I was led to Deliverance Ministries for that very reason. And so one of the blessings that Deliverance Ministries gave to me was that I had no idea all of the things that you could do, and also things that have absolutely nothing to do with you, that could open up doors to the demonic realm and have profound effects on your entire life. And just having that understanding of how demons operate and the power that God has given you as a person of Christ and to fight off evil spirits, and just living in the freedom that God has given you when he died on the cross, that Jesus gave you when he died on the cross. So I think that was the blessing that Deliverance Ministries has given to me and continue to give to me as I'm doing this walk and understanding more and more and more about how these demonic, activities can come into your life and how you can handle them with the power of God.
Yeah, that's good, Natasha. We were talking earlier, we usually do mention the very same thing, that so many people are naive about this, mm-hmm. and how the enemy is out there all around us looking for open doors. And then, of course, mm-hmm. We run into these satanic assignments coming out of mm-hmm. Satan's war room, that are put on Christians that have a lot of potential in the gospel, a lot of God-given gifts, and they're moving up the ladder in the gospel. They become pastors, evangelists, and demons are put on assignment to try to block those people's lives. And many Christians do fall. Pastors have never had any understanding of this type of ministry and who they are in Jesus, how much power they've been given. Of course, I love that Luke 10:19, where Jesus told us in his name, we have all power. I love that. Not 50% or 75%, all power over the enemy. And even promising nothing will harm us. And of course, as we've seen, as we speak that out loud, that scripture actually performs itself, actually hurts the enemy, and tends to keep him at bay. And it also puts the demons on notice that we've read the book and we know who we are in Jesus. So that intimidates them as well. And then, and of course, we've learned to use the angels. In your ministry sessions, did your minister use angels any to help you?
Yes, she did. And she gave me so much information on just how to fight the devil right where he stands, you know, that God has given us the power to do that. And that's another thing that I wasn't aware of, was that God's given us all everything we need. We just need to use it. And, you know, as a Christian, you know, we pray and we read the Bible and things like that. But just really standing in that power that God has given you, that was profound for me also, because it's not just, you know, reading. We gotta dig deep in the Word of God and really, really understand everything that He's done. So deep study, it was also another thing that's paramount for me, is deep study, deep prayer, using the Word of God, like you said, Luke 10:19. Thank you guys for giving me that scripture. I say that scripture quite a bit, and it didn't take me long to memorize it, but that's now one of my favorites, you know. And so, yeah, just absolutely, just she taught me how to pray the prayer with asking for warring angels to surround me and commanding them to protect me. And that's something I didn't know before deliverance ministry. So that's been a blessing as well.
Yes, praise God. And last night I was up with the teams. I was telling Ralph, that's on here with me, that I taught on ministry to children. And people overlook the idea that children can be demonized as well. And the tip-off that I've seen through these 43 years that I've been doing this now, I've ministered a lot of children through the years, but the tip-off is the child is usually doing something weird. They're out of something that's out of balance and reoccurring and tormenting. I mean, a lot of violence, fighting, destruction, breaking things, windows, whatever. And a lot of rebellion that's out of balance, you know, that's overboard. Well, those are tip-offs. That child needs ministry. And if that child never gets ministry, guess what? They grow up. And they've still got those spirits of temper and anger and rage and violence and so on. And if you can get them those demons out as a child, of course, it makes a huge difference in the person's life. There's numerous accounts in the Bible about where children were ministered to. And, of course, as we've seen, nothing has changed from the New Testament. Some people suggest that, as you alluded to, but I haven't found any cutoff date in the Bible myself. And as I read it, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. A day is but 1,000 years. 1,000 years is but a day. It's the same, you know, in the spirit world, what's 1,000 years? It's nothing. And so whatever went on in the days of Jesus is still going on today. The good news is we've been given this power to deal with them. I think often of the people in the Old Testament that didn't have what we have. Praise God, we're on this side of the cross, and we have the blessings of the New Testament. So, hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Well, have you thought, Natasha, about going through the training and learning how to do this?
Yes, and that is definitely something that I'm going to be looking forward to doing, is learning the training and getting as much knowledge as I can, and learning from you and the others. That's a part of your ministry, too, and I'm excited about that, so absolutely.
Oh, it is so exciting. I just praise God over and over that somebody shared this with me back in 1978. We were talking earlier, I was saying how we had 14 cases Monday night, and ministered for each, and I was teaching upstairs. I do that, you know, once a month, and that was my Monday to go up. And after teaching the basic checklist and all to the new people and trainees and all, even some of the older ministers, doesn't hurt to review. And they were sitting in there. But children, again, is what I was teaching on. So fresh in my mind that we need to keep our eyes open when, instead of running to the counselor or psychiatrist, you know, to where they may put them on, just on medication to sedate them, when they actually, the demons can be cast out. So many times with ministering to children, I've seen them set free in 20, 30 minutes. They're usually, children are very easy to minister to, and they've not been, the demons are not so deeply rooted typically. And so it's just most amazing, and so few people know this. That begins so frustrating that you look at the body of Christ as a whole, and here in America, and I don't know what the percentage is, but it wouldn't surprise me if about 98% of the Christians in America do not know what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a sad thing, but, I agree 100%. I think I was telling Jennifer who actually was my part of the ministry for me, the deliverance. I was talking to her about that I just believe that there should be deliverance in every church, and that this should be a part of their everyday makeup, you know, so to speak, part of their ministry, and it's not. And it just leads to a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion when it comes to the body of Christ. And so those are things that need to be changed.
You know, we find that the average Christian is carrying about 3 dozen demons minimum. So those churches where they never get this type of ministry, nevertheless, if you were to hand that 2-page problem list that we give people when they first come, and they circle the problems that apply to them, and of course we find the majority of those, especially the ones that are more tormenting, the problems that are more tormenting, that there's a demon behind it. Well, you can bet every congregation and every church, the people sitting out there, they have the generational door open as well, and just like we constantly run into, and they've opened the unforgiveness door. Of course, there's 15 doors we've learned about that these demons come through. So it's widespread, and the body of Christ here in America and other countries, they know more about it. But we're too intelligent up here in America, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so thanks so much for calling in tonight, Natasha.
Uh-huh.
It was a great testimony.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Yes, thank you.
Time. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you guys, too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Typical testimony. Someone grew up in the church, knew better, but because of this and that, fell away, did things they shouldn't have done, or had doors open and was searching, knew they shouldn't be that way, couldn't figure it out, and somehow, some way, they found out about deliverance, and their life turned around.
We've heard that kind of testimony before, haven't we?
Just a few times. Pastor, we have Sean on the line. Sean, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes, hi, Sean.
Hey, Robert,
great
how are
to
you?
Have you on. And you, oh, I'm blessed. Sure. And, of course, Richard there in the control room, and we all know you. So glad you called in. Well, Sean, why don't you go ahead and give, you know, some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and, you know, what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so on.
Okay, sure. Well, I've pretty much grown up in Ohio, and I repented of my sins and was baptized back in the early 2000s. And I was also, when I was really young, too, but I kind of recommitted that. And kind of through the same ministries that I got baptized through, the Scriptures for America and whatnot, we started talking to Everett here and got involved with the deliverance ministry. And I had several different problems that I was kind of working with to varying degrees. But the biggest one was kind of a very obscure sort of illness that includes a lot of nausea and vomiting that kind of crops up at random times, almost like a flu. And they diagnosed it as cyclic vomiting syndrome, and there's a couple other variations that they go by name-wise, but that was the main one. And I had dealt with that for several years in some times that I was in the Coast Guard in service those times, probably 2014 through 2016 or so. And it actually ended up getting me medically discharged. And the problems persisted, and that was about the time that I started getting involved with the deliverance. And it actually took, it did take several sessions to completely eradicate the problem, but I've had virtually no problems with that for probably about a year or two now, and nothing really specific as far as those symptoms goes. So, and there are some other things too, some bitterness and unforgiveness, which is really all too common. Like, that usually seems to be the problems I see people deal with most, and I know I was dealing with that, and but that's usually the main problems from what I've seen. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, Sean. And have you had a chance to share with any other people around you up there in Ohio on this?
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of the times it kind of falls on deaf ears, but I have actually talked to a few people that had some interest, and I try to spread the word as much as I can, because, you know, it's definitely not something I want to keep to myself. So,
well, yes, and you know, here's the thing, as we've all seen, even though somebody may not act like they have any interest in it, they heard what you said, and mm-hmm. then they may have something going on in their family, some of their family, and weird things going on, and they, because of what you shared with them, then they may put two and two together and realize, well, maybe there's some evil spirits involved in here. And they would try to find a deliverance minister. So you never know. You know, it's just like getting people born again, sharing the word may not show fruits right away, but over a period of time, you average out.
Yeah, just sometimes it's prayer and patience in the beginning, but it's really from the very start. Like I say, I struggled with some of those dark forces and demons. I wasn't reluctant to get involved right away, but I, you know, with the unforgiveness and things like that, that kind of held me up a little bit. But really, it's kind of a no brainer. I mean, it's a way to free yourself and cut loose from those things, and it doesn't really cost you anything, and it doesn't really, you know, there's no real issues with it hurting you. It's not like it has bad side effects. It's entirely a good thing, and it's biblical. I mean, you know, it's really hard for Christians to sometimes really understand their Bibles, but it's right there. It's pretty obvious.
Well, yes, and of course Jesus said in Matthew 18:34 and 35 in the King James is very clear, where he said to us that if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And of course we find the tormentors are usually about three dozen plus demons. And of course the unforgiveness, you know, that's something that we all know what the flesh wants to do when somebody does us wrong, we feel. And the flesh would prefer to get revenge, you know,
right.
Retaliation. And the enemy loves that because they have entry through that. And then we run into this one about a person forgiving themselves, same door. Demons come through that. Some people have a real hang-up on forgiving themselves. Well, again, the enemy loves that because they have entry. Were you okay on forgiving yourself, Sean?
Absolutely. And sometimes I even do that, you know, as like I remind myself daily to sometimes do that, even if I'm, you know, kind of forgetting to forgive myself. Because there's things, that was actually one of my hardest things was to forgive myself of some serious things, and I'm past all that now, and it's just, you know, there's always new darts the devil throws at you from day to day, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you kind of fall into that sometimes, and you just gotta, you know, keep working on it.
Yes, and, so. You know, I was just upstairs Monday night training. I do that once a month, you know. You've been in some of those meetings, haven't you?
Yes,
and,
sir.
I was upstairs, and this time at training, besides doing the basics, also training on how children could be demonized. But I always emphasize, I tell the teams, you know, on our checklist, when you get, the first thing the minister does is interview, and the first question is, how'd you do in the door closing prayer? Were you able to say it out loud? And then the next one is, how'd you do in the forgiving? I always like to say, was there anybody you couldn't forgive? Because that'll still allow demons to be there. And we can come against them, and even though we have all powers been given to us, if the demons have been given a legal right by the person carrying unforgiveness toward others, then they'll stay. We can keep coming against them. Maybe on occasion you can drive them out, but that door's still open, so they'll probably come back within a week or two, whatever. And then I tell the teams, don't go any further until the person has forgiven everybody, and then don't go any further until the person has forgiven themselves. Don't go any further in the checklist. Work with them until they've chosen. It's all a choice. You know, God gave us the ability to choose anything at any time. So that's the key there, to choose and do it. So you barely chose and you did it, Sean.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, it's I believe it was actually the last session that I went through, and it really didn't entail anything that was originally the problems. It was something that had come up, you know, after the fact, you know, like a sometime after, you know, the bigger problems were dealt with. And I had been holding back a lot of issues with somebody. I couldn't even believe I said it, really, at the time. But I sat down with a couple of deliverance ministers, and, you know, somebody said, "Who do you need to forgive?" And we went through that, and without even thinking about it, I was like, you know, well, that person hurt me, and he actually sat and told me, he goes, "If you can't forgive that person, then we might as not even be here. You know, that's an impasse, and you need to deal with that before we even move on." And, you know, I realized kind of what was happening there, and I, you know, I was humbled, and I forgave and moved on, and didn't let that ever be a hindrance ever since. So,
Sean, I bet you felt better right off when you did the forgiving.
I did.
Did you notice that?
Absolutely.
You felt better right off. Yeah. It's blanket of heaviness that's on us. You can look in a person's face, and yep. If you're walking down the street or in the mall or somewhere, you can. Of course, it's harder with the mask now. But
yeah, you can still see it in the eyes sometimes, though.
You can still see their eyes, and mm-hmm. the people are carrying the bitterness there. And when they finally go through and forgive others, forgive themselves, and go through the ministry, get the demons cast out, then many times they look like a different person. Have you experienced mm-hmm. that yet?
Yeah, a couple of times. I've seen some people that have gone through it, and you know, there's several indications. A lot of it's behavior, but you know, you can kind of sense a lighter spirit within them. You know, it's not like the darker. You know, you see it. You know, they almost look older and more worn out when they have the heavier demonic spirits that are just, you know, they're kind of wallowing in, and it's interesting sometimes. I've caught myself doing it a little bit here and there, and I see it with others too. It's like it's almost like some people kind of almost there's a spirit that kind of guides them into enjoying it. Like they're almost like the types that are happy being miserable. Like, or they're not ever happy if they're not miserable. And you know, it's really just no way to live, especially when you can deal with it.
Well, sure, and it's probably a spirit of deception, and the lie mm-hmm. demons sticking into their heads. You know, when I get a head demon up, you've heard me share, probably I'll have the head demon give me the top 10 lies. The case I had Monday night, a man from California, mm-hmm. I was able to get the head demon up and interrogate it, and I had it give me the top 10 lies it was speaking mm-hmm. into his head. And that goes on even after deliverance. It's likely to happen where they'll try to speak into our heads. But as the Bible says, you're to cast down those thoughts. In other words, mm-hmm. you perish those thoughts. You don't buy them. And I've even had demons tell me in manifestations that the person concerning those lies, the demon is having a hard time getting the person to accept the lies because that person mm-hmm. is standing on the word too much.
mm-hmm.
You know, if you stand on the truth of the word of who you are in Jesus, you tend not mm-hmm. to buy the lies, praise God. So that's why we give out those I Ams. And of course, Scriptures for America has those I Ams as well. It's just scriptures out of the Bible on who we are in Jesus. And there's something supernatural about saying them out loud. Have you been doing those I Ams?
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's go ahead.
I was going to say, you brought up the thought perishing too, and that's one thing. It's and I learned it firsthand. Was you don't know. It's doing it just once doesn't always really count. Like sometimes you really gotta stay on top of that sometimes, but eventually it does. You know, I got caught up in a lot of you know, oh, I've been trying this and it doesn't work. I mean, to keep on perishing those thoughts, and eventually they do go away, and once you got that impasse out of the way, then just go to the Word, and you know, like you said, speak those I ams, and it's kind of like establishing a beachhead in an invasion, or to fight back for your territory, and you get that beachhead, and then you just keep moving on until you know there's nothing left that's a hindrance to you, if that makes sense.
That's a great way to put it, Sean. Yeah, that's yep. A good way to say it. And you know, on this unforgiveness, I tell the people, well, here's what you're going to have to do the rest of your life so you don't open doors to these demons, and that is next week somebody may do you wrong, you think. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, what you need to do right away, as soon as you can, whisper out loud. You need to say it out loud or whisper it. Mm-hmm. that's how it gets into the spirit world. You need to say, Jesus, I forgive that person, and I even bless them. And that's
right.
How you got to live the rest of your life, or these demons will have an entry. It's not worth it when we're all mm-hmm. entities of free choice, and we can choose to forgive and live life
that's
abundant.
It.
Amen? Do you feel you're
Amen.
Living more life abundant now?
Absolutely. And when we
yeah.
when we really consider, you know, what we're all here for, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the Lord and, Christ our King. And we can't be effective servants if we're for Him, if we're being hindered by these things. So, in a way, it's kind of a responsibility to try and, take a hold and put a round turn on that stuff.
Absolutely. Yes. And those demons will block your God-given gifts and your ministry gifts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's their mission, as Jesus said.
That's right.
To steal, kill, and destroy, and they're doing
yep.
it. Well, when you knock all that out, oh my gosh, it's the real you. It's the real person
mm-hmm.
now with those spirits cast out. Now at last able to go forward in their lives without these demons blocking. So I see it now. That's why Jesus so clearly commanded believers in His name, Mark 16:17, to cast out demons. Because,
That's
as
right.
we see it, everybody seems to have them. They've come through the generational door, etc.
Well,
you know, Pastor,
that's the thing. Go ahead.
That's all right. Pastor, I've known Sean well over 10 years, and I saw a major, major difference in growth in him when he went through deliverance. In fact, I think I was the one doing the deliverance with him when he was having trouble forgiving, and I said, well, we might as well just stop it right now. But I also knew the history, the background behind it. And but what was interesting was I was able to get the head demon on that deliverance with Sean. And when I had written down the top 10 lies, or, how many lies there was, every single one of those lies that the demon had told me, I heard it come out of Sean's mouth from time to time. And it's just amazing to see the growth in him. It's one thing when you go through deliverance with somebody you've never met before, and you see the transformation right then. It's another thing when you know them pretty well, and then you see the growth with it. So it definitely can benefit. Sean is a long-time standing member of Scriptures for America, had been a Christian for several years, grew up with the ministry, and there's a lot of people out there that think, and it's still within some of our own ministry there, that, you know, demons can't affect Christians, or they don't have that issue. And Sean is a perfect example of someone who grew up with the ministry, went to many, many gatherings, and still had things that were troubling him and having problems with. And his transformation is just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Praise God. We're all excited for you, Sean.
That's
fulfillment that comes out, just like Ralph is saying. Ralph was sent
mm-hmm.
out on a high after he got through ministering to you. How about it, Ralph?
Yeah, in fact, you tell that minister, I didn't even like Sean. it's just fantastic to see when you get a chance to work with some people that you know, and we were getting to that point of unforgiveness. I knew that was going to be an issue just from when I heard him speak, and when he said, "No, I can't," I said, "Well, we're done," you know. So there's no reason even to keep going. So that's just how important it is to get past unforgiveness. Just remember, it does not always free the person; it frees you. It doesn't free for them for what they did, but it frees you from the bondage. And I would say even goes allows the Lord to start working in that person's life because we're no longer holding it over them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, we're about out of time. What would you say in the remaining minute or so to the people that are listening?
Well, you had mentioned before that kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, those demons were created and designed for a purpose, and they do their best to follow it, and it's our responsibility to do what we were designed and created to do as well, and stand up and do the right thing for Christ and cast them out. So we all have, we're here doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we should do that relentlessly.
Doing the commands of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you,
sir.
Sean, up there in Ohio. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for being on. It had to
encourage others. Yes, Sean.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk to you later, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah, the growth I've seen in him, and actually some other brothers in Christ have seen, it's like it was two different people. And it's just amazing. And it took a couple, and he'll tell you from time to time, a lot of it was he wasn't practicing what he needed to do to stay free when he went home. But I can tell now that he is. I can tell that he is walking at a different level in his Christian walk. I know that he's doing his stuff to stay free, because of our conversations and just seeing the fruit of it. And you can have that fruit as well. You can have that fruit of joy, peace, a type of Christian walk that you've been hindered, because as Sean there said, that the enemy comes, and they're very good at what they do. Well, what does the enemy come to do? It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And they come to kill, steal, and destroy a Christian's life. These scriptures that tell us about these things are written to Christians, are written to believers. When Peter said he's a roaring lion looking someone to devour, he wasn't writing that to the unsaved, he was writing to the saved. When James said to resist the devil and he shall flee, he wasn't writing that to the unsaved, he was writing it to the saved. So,
in DeliveranceUSA.com, you might mention that,
yes.
Ralph.
I sure will. You can go to DeliveranceUSA.com. Everything you need is right there. Or getting the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582 and let him know you'd like to have that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, what a great way to start off the year. Look forward to many more testimonies this year. Thank you for joining us this evening. And as always, God bless, and we'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.